Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad you have joined us both in person and online. Please stand as you are able for opening hymns.
Thank you. right, any and all young folks who want to join us up here, please do. I am April Olt, the Children's Ministries Coordinator here. We had a lot of very confused young folk because they were asking, when do I get to go up and sing? Because this was their song in the Christmas pageant. So they were very excited. Thank you so much for the hymn today. They knew all the words and they were singing along. So it was really fun. Hi, Bonnie. All right, so today we are working again on Compassion Camp, talking about food. Who likes food? All right, so I'm gonna go out on a limb here. It's gonna be a little scary, and ask what your favorite food is. All right, so what's your favorite food, Bonnie?
Apple.
Apples, awesome. What's your favorite food?
Pineapple.
Pineapple? What'd you say when we were practicing earlier? We can come back. What's your favorite thing?
Grapes.
Probably
pears.
Pears, good.
Bananas and ring pops.
Bananas and ring pops. All right, so we all picked, what's funny is we all picked some fruits, things that are in the fruit and vegetable family. Where do fruits and vegetables come from? Who knows?
Some fruits come from some apple trees.
Apple trees? What else? Do you want to say something? So they come from apple trees? Good. Now, what do trees need to grow?
Sun and water.
Sun and water. Where do sun and water come from?
Some sun... comes from the sky.
Yeah, from the sky. And when we talk about the creation story, it was God who created the sun and the moon and the stars. And so what we're talking about is how we're all connected through something called the food chain, right? We need the sun, we need water, we need air, right? We need food that grows on trees, and we all like different types of food. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, that we're all connected to each other, and we're all connected to God. All right, so we're gonna sing some songs about it. And speaking of singing, everybody up here is also in the children's choir. So the children's choir is going to start up again this week. And what do we have coming up new for the older folks?
And we're starting a new youth ensemble. So we're really excited. Any young folks that are in sixth grade through 12th grade who enjoy singing or playing an instrument or being a part of an ensemble, that will start on February 4th and we'll meet right before services. So we're really excited about that. So for those folks at home, come on back. And if you're here today, we start that on February 4th before services.
And we're also excited because Miss Sandy is going to lead us on an awesome craft. And we know how good Miss Sandy's crafts are. All right. So before we go off to Children's Church, let's all bow our heads quickly in prayer. Dearest Lord, thank you for all that you have given us to help us share with one another through the sun, the stars, the water, the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, and the love that we have for one another. We are all connected through you and through this family that we have here created at this church. And all God's children said, amen. All right, so we're going to go back to our children's church, and as we do that, we ask you all to stand up and greet one another with a sign of peace as you are comfortable.
Peace of the Lord be with you. Why don't we take our seats and prepare to enter just a really wonderful time with our bell choir. Thank you. How wonderful. We are so grateful to have such a robust and amazing music program here, and for all the participants in our service who helped to make it wonderful. I invite you now to prepare yourself for prayer, an amazing time that we set aside to be in conversation with God, to center that part of ourselves that really needs to be able to express what's inside of us to the God who is always listening. And as always, we are grateful to enter that time together with our choir. Holy One, we hear your voice whispering to us in the wind, in the quiet moments, at least expected times, inviting us into you. Sometimes it's not a whisper. Sometimes it's a shout, a wild call from the mountaintop, you demanding our attention and calling us to obedience. We confess that sometimes it's hard to hear the call and the din of the world around us. Other times we can hardly believe it is us that you want. It is us you need to be partners in this co-creation. God, give us clarity so that we might distill your message. Give us courage that we might be willing to answer when the Holy Spirit comes a-knocking, so that we might become more of who you are calling us to be each day. Give us the strength to find and fulfill our purpose, and help us to love ourselves as you have created us to be, worthy of your invitation and ready to work. Make us instruments of your peace. Where there is darkness, help us to bring light, and where communities are broken and relationships have fractured, sometimes our own, help us to lean into love and its healing power, and to remember that we are yours, and you would not ask from us what we cannot do. This morning we pray for peace and justice in the world, and especially in the Middle East. May the horrific war in Israel and Palestine come to an end. May all hostages be returned home and all acts of violence cease. May our own nation choose to be a partner in creating peace. We pray for the people of the Ukraine and for those impacted by conflict in the Congo. We pray for peace and healing in Korea. And here, in our own neighborhood in the United States, we know that conflict takes shape in other ways. And so, God, we pray for the end of poverty and the end of the exploitation of workers. Help us to dream together of a path to housing for all, and to bring forth a cessation of police brutality and gun violence. God, help us to achieve the beloved community here on earth. This morning we lift up to you especially Sue Ellen and her mother Margaret in prayer. Bring healing and restoration to Suzanne. We pray for peace and justice and learning for all students at Haskell. For Emmy and Takao on the sudden and terrible loss of their daughter Emily and her fiance in a tragic accident. And for Charlie and Mikey, we pray for successful surgeries and good recoveries. Please be with all of them and surround them with your healing spirit. Hold them close to you and let them know that they are never alone, that you are God, that you are theirs, and that with you all things are possible. We have many prayers in our hearts, and now we offer them to you in a moment of silent reflection.
God, we offer these to you, these joys, these celebrations that are in our hearts and our worries and concerns. We offer them to you because we know there's no burden that you cannot carry, and there's no gift in our life that did not come from you. Thank you for all the ways you move in our world, the way that you bless us each and every day. Even when we don't know it's you, it is you, and we are grateful. We are especially thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his life of revolution and love and peace and justice, for his death on the cross and for his resurrection, which reminds us and tells us that all things are possible, that new days are possible. This morning, with the confidence of Christians, we offer to you the prayer that many will pray around the world this morning, the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Happy Sunday. Good to see you. Hey, gosh, our kids were so cute. Pear, apple. So many healthy choices. Bridie and I were back here. Pizza, French fries, cookies, anything Dan Cox makes on Sunday. That's what happens when you get older. All right, let's check in. Go ahead and get your phone out. Scan that QR code. If you would, please drop your name in there. And also any prayer requests that you may have. I collect those on Monday, and I put them in a spreadsheet for the pastoral staff, so we can all look over them and pray for them over the week. Today, I hope you're staying after church. We have set up the gym. We have a blessing bag build happening. So that is happening right after church. So, and that's where all the cookies and the coffee are gonna be, so you have to go into the gym. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Also, Ruth's small group is happening at 12:15, and that's happening in the Grace Room if you're part of that group. This is the last week to sign up for the LA Unhoused Count. That's happening on the 25th from 8 p.m. to 12 in the morning. It's a late one, but you must be registered, and there is a QR code up there if you want to get registered now. They're also on all the welcome tables, which you can do after church. Also on the 25th, and just coming up in general, the United Women's in Faith group has a lot going on, and they're meeting on the 25th at 6:15 for a Zoom call to kind of talk about everything that's happening this spring. But they have a habitat build, and there's a book club, and I just want to point out Hannah, who's leading the habitat build. She's up in the balcony, part of our production team. So if you have any questions, that's happening on the 3rd of February. Need you to get signed up for that if you want to do that, but she can help with that. And then the book club as well, Deb, is right there in front. If you have any questions about how to get involved with the book club, please see Deb afterwards. We're very excited for Dr. Frank Rogers to be coming next Sunday. He'll be preaching, and he'll also be spending some time in the chapel with us afterwards, discussing the new themes of his book called Cradle in the Arms of Compassion. Should be a great time, and we're very excited that he's spending Sunday with us next week. So the talk afterward is 12:15 in the chapel. And then one last thing. We are starting to get signups for Food on Foot on February 11th. We go right out after church over to Food on Foot for a couple hours, and it's at the LGBT Center in the parking lot. Hand out food and clothing to people who need it, and it's only a couple hours, but we do need to have you signed up to be a part of that. So you can scan the QR code here, lots of QR codes, but they're also on all of the welcome tables as well you can do after church. So anything I've talked about, come see me in the gym. And if you do not know the secret special passage, you can go right up these stairs that are on your left side of the sanctuary. It goes right to the gym afterwards. You don't even have to go outside. And not that it's raining for now, but love to talk to you in the gym about any of these things later. all that we do here, all of the events, the blessing bag build, is made possible by you. Through your prayers, your presence, your service making the bags, and your financial gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for online giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you so much.
From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
This morning, we continue our Epiphany sermon series entitled Breathe. As we enter into this new year, let us learn and relearn how to breathe. So I invite you to take a deep breath. Breathe in truth. Refresh your spirit with God's loving words of affirmation. Breathe out prayer. Release your stress with calming, breath-oriented prayers. Breathe deeply of God's love and mercy, and discover why every breath can be an invitation to peace. Today, we're focusing on breathing into the call of God in our daily lives. Now, you might think to yourself, oh, no, I don't have a call from God. That's for the preachers. But the truth is, we all have our own call story. Clergy are just better rehearsed at it because we have to tell it all the time when we're going through the ordination process. So we just share it a lot. So I invite you to think about the call in a different way. Bishop Will Willimon, when he was the dean of the chapel at Duke Divinity School, wrote that one day the door to my office swung open and this student entered. I looked up from whatever I was doing, startled by him. Without a word of explanation or introduction, he plopped down in one of my chairs and said, "How did you know that you were supposed to be a preacher? Did you hear some voice from the sky? Did you always want to be a preacher? Did you ever think that you should do something else? How did you know?" And Bishop Willimon responded, "Who sent you here? Who wants to know?" Well, of course, the student wanted to know, not so much because he was interested in me, Willimon wrote, but because he wanted to know something about himself. Do you know a God who calls? If so, tell me about that, because I've never heard God calling. Is it that some people hear from God and others don't? The student wanted to know who he was and what he was supposed to be doing with his life. And that is the definition of call, discovering who God has created you to be. Our scripture today is from a poet prophet known as 2nd Isaiah, who wrote chapters 40 to 55 of the book of Isaiah. And in 42, he described the call of the servant of God, also known as one of the four suffering servant songs in the book. They're poems about God's special agent who will fulfill God's purpose for the faithful community. Though innocent, the servant will suffer for God's people. In Isaiah 42, verse 3, the servant is described as a bruised reed and a dimly burning wick. However, because of God's Spirit that works through the servant will not be broken or quenched. Rather, he will faithfully continue his mission, establishing justice on earth. The servant offers a profound example of power in the midst of vulnerability. The power that's in the servant is a different kind of power. It's a power that does not scream or shout, which offers a sharp contrast with the brutal forces executed by the empires of the day. Now, for the Israelites who had been in exile for generations when these words were written in the 6th century before Christ, they would have been interpreted in a collective sense, that God had not abandoned them, that God was still calling them to be God's people. Now, we Christians can appreciate that interpretation, but we can also see another, that Isaiah was foreshadowing the coming of Jesus the Christ to be the new covenant with us, to be a light to the nations, to model that different kind of power that comes through servanthood. Whether it be a nation or an individual, the call, though, is the same. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. It is God who gives us breath, who calls us and keeps us as we respond. Reverend Jefferson will now invite us to connect with that breath of God.
As you breathe into your call, hear the Lord say to you, "Let me take your hand and lead you forward on the great adventure that we call life." I want to invite you to turn within and close your eyes and
Breathing in, breathing out. In the breath, we touch the present moment. Keep bringing your awareness back to your breath, resting within the divine breath of God. Open your eyes if they've been closed, and return your awareness to this physical space. Let us continue to breathe freely throughout the coming week.
As we breathe and ponder about how God is calling us today, or this week, or this year, allow me to make a few observations. First, we all know our weaknesses, even if we don't like to admit them. But the fact is, we are God's people because God has loved us. God has set God's Holy Spirit upon us. God has made us God's own. So in spite of our frailties, our weaknesses, our failures, God promises to love us no matter what, to take us by the hand, and to strengthen us. And a corollary to that is that we need to accept the fact that often, in good times and in challenging ones, we're all no more than bruised reeds and dimly burning wicks. But as Leonard Cohen says beautifully in his song Anthem, forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything, but that's where the light gets in. That is where the light comes in. God's grace and power works exactly where we are broken, where we are most fragile, where we are most vulnerable, and reminds us to breathe deeply of God's breath, of God's Spirit that is upon us. Second, we need to be intentional in listening for God. Bishop Williman says we become dull to the divine. We don't expect to hear from God, so we don't listen. He writes, how usual, how mundane, mediated, ordinary is the sound of God's voice. Most of the time, from what I observe, there's no voice from above. There's a voice from within. The voice speaks so clearly that you know you heard it, yet it speaks so ambiguously that there are dozens of ways to explain it except as the voice of God. So you must respond to the voice on faith rather than complete certainty. And when we respond to God's voice on faith, family, we are then living into our call. The great writer Frederick Buechner, in his book Wishful Thinking, says that a good rule for finding one's call is this. Our special mission in life is usually A, that which we'd love to most to do, and B, it's work that the world needs most to have done. Buechner says if we really get a kick out of our work, we've probably met requirement A, but if that work is writing billboard ads, chances are we haven't met requirement B. If our work is being a doctor in an underserved area, we've probably met requirement B, but if most of the time we're bored and depressed by doctoring, then chances are we've not only bypassed A, we probably aren't helping our patients very much either. And he concludes, the place God calls us to is the place where our deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Some examples from history. St. Francis of Assisi, he turned from a life of luxury and riches to one of voluntary poverty with the intention of sharing his possessions with the poor. He became an example to his fellow townspeople of the biblical assurance that God can provide. Likewise, Elizabeth Gurney Fry exemplified an emphasis on living by Jesus' example. In addition to raising her family, this wife of a wealthy London merchant single-handedly initiated and caused the implementation of efforts to reform the prison system in England. These reforms spread throughout the entire continent during her lifetime. Ida B. Wells was an African-American journalist and activist who led an anti-lynching crusade in the United States in the 1890s. Born into slavery in Mississippi, Wells was freed by the Emancipation Proclamation and went on to be a teacher, a newspaper owner, and one of the co-founders of the NAACP. She's also one of the first women in the United States to keep her name when she got married. Also in the 1800s, Dorothea Dix spearheaded the movement for the establishment of hospitals for the mentally ill, who were at the time being held in prisons. All of these folks heard God's call to serve those in need, and they responded to that call as a servant seeking love and justice and mercy. My prayer for you this week, family, is that we each breathe into the call that we hear from God, that we discover who God has created us to be. And in that process, let us listen for God in new ways as we strive to be more like Jesus. Let us commit to hang out with sinners, to upset religious people, except me. Got to get that clear. Tell stories that make people think. Choose unpopular friends. Be kind, loving, and merciful. And take naps on boats. Amen. Following the postlude, if you would like to receive communion, you're invited to come to this side, the first two rows on this side today, come be seated, and Pastor Bridie will consecrate communion. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. Going now, know that God has called you for a specific purpose. Spend this year inviting that call into your life and finding out what it is. Go now in peace to love and serve the world. Amen.